On your journey through life, you are the hero. There are times, however, when it is beneficial to have an advisor to guide you along your path. Welcome to the Smart Money Simplified Podcast with Brent Mikosh, Certified Financial Planner, Certified Investment Management Analyst, and co-founder of MP Advisors LLC. In this podcast, Brent discusses some of the most important and interesting topics of the day as they relate to finance, the economy, and beyond. Now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Smart Money Simplified Podcast with Brent Mikosh. Brent, good to be with you again. How are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. It's always a pleasure spending some time with you. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation we have today. We have two visionary entrepreneurs with us today. We have Justin Breen and Sarah Breen, but from a really, really different background. And we're gonna dive into a little bit of their personal stories and how they got where they are right now. But Justin, formerly in journalism, then into marketing, and then has written a couple books and has launched a really powerful network. Sarah, with a medical background, and has now joined Justin in terms of really bringing this network to the fruition that is the flourishing level, I should say, that it is definitely achieving right now. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's one of these conversations I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go. Give me a little background in terms of where you came from obviously, you know, working your way up to now where we've got BR Epic Network. And Sarah, talk to us a little bit about what you're doing, and we'll kind of dive right into this.
Well, it's an honor to be here. I think this will be a fascinating conversation. I lead a very simple life, spending time with Sarah. We've been married since 2008. We've been together almost 20 years now. Our first date was the day before she started medical school. So that's been a very interesting journey. And our sons are Jake and Chase. They're 11 and 9, both visionaries for sure. So either spending time with them or connecting visionaries to serve humanity. So I spend my day talking to the world's smartest, most interesting, well-connected people. And then I just connect them and then created two companies based on that purpose. And my favorite quote is from Earl Nightingale: success is progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And I just try to get better at connecting visionaries to serve humanity every day while spending as much time with my family.
I definitely want to spend some more time talking about how you do that, because I think you do it better than anyone I've ever come across. But before we get into that, Sarah, give us a little bit of your background.
Oh, thanks, Brent. And thank you so much for having us. So I would say I'm the opposite of Justin, which is probably a good thing for everyone. But my background is I'm a general pediatrician, and I've been practicing in the north suburbs of Chicago since 2011, started full time, and long story, but progressively have become more and more part time. And in May of 2023, I had a realization that, of course, I've always known that Justin and I are pretty much opposites. But one, I realized that I love being around visionary entrepreneurs. And two, I realized that because our differences are so vast, that we could really work well together in running a company. And so I jumped on board to run his second company and continue to practice pediatrics at the same time.
And Justin, I want to talk a little bit about how you got the first company going in terms of the marketing company, because I do think your story, it's important and it's unique, because you probably would agree with this as well, both of you, is that we're coming into this time of massive transition that I believe is going to occur. I think that's going to create enormous opportunities.
Yes.
But I think the main character trait that it's going to take to succeed is going to be adaptability.
Yes.
Because if we stay still in terms of where we're at and are not willing to reinvent ourselves, good luck. Because things are going to happen pretty quickly. And Sarah, you're definitely in the process of doing that now. But Justin, you were able to pivot into this role as a marketer and connector. You were kind of forced into it. So let's a quick background in terms of why and how that happened.
Yeah, happy to do that. And we're recording this around the 7-year anniversary of when my job salary as a journalist was cut in half I was a journalist for 20 years and created entire first business, which is called Brepik Communications. Created that entire business based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years as a journalist. So I was just annoyed, so created a solution. But that story was job salary was cut in half. I couldn't find a job. Incorporated April 16th, 2017. Zero business background. I still don't know what an S corp is. Please don't tell me what it is. I don't want to know. I didn't know you had to pay taxes four times a year. None of that. And then while I was working full-time, half the salary, I reached out to 5,000 people to find first five clients over 6 weeks. So I would describe that as adaptable. and got fifth client on June 1st, resigned June 2nd, and then June 5th, Robert Feeder, who has since retired. I never even say that word anymore, but I'll do it in this context. But he wrote an article. I'd started my own firm. So that was June 5th, 2017. So that was just to get the first company started, and now help run two companies that specifically and solely focus on connecting visionaries to serve humanity. But talking to visionaries, as you know, I mean, that's stories like that. That's the average, that's the litmus test for a visionary. They're just faced with immense trauma and challenges. And they just say, okay, figure it out. Let's get it done.
Now, Sarah, what was that like at home? Because here you get your husband come home and says, hey, my salary's been cut in half and I got this idea. What went through your mind?
Good question. I've actually never been asked that before.
Can't wait to hear this. Wow.
So it was obviously stressful. We kind of knew the day before it happened that something bad was going to happen just due to a call into the city and for a meeting on a Friday. And so, of course, he was really stressed out. He looked for jobs first. You know, the goal was to just find another job. He even looked into PR. And there really wasn't anything. Journalism is a rough, it's hard. And so luckily, again, the odds are in our favor. So I'm working full time at that point. I carry the insurance. So he's able to start and try this without too much risk because he's starting a job from our home. He doesn't have to put any money into it. I mean, it was stressful. I remember walking around my office at that point in like kind of a total haze. I don't even think he knows this. But definitely there were people very concerned about what was going on in my life because I'm usually very chatty, if you can't tell, and usually very happy. And so it was really stressful. But I mean, the ideas that he generally has are really good ones. And I'm very honest with him. I would tell him if I didn't believe in him. And so he always says, if I believe in him, then he knows it's a good idea because I will tell him when he writes a book, I'll tell him if it's good or not. I don't have a filter with him when it comes to good or bad. And so once he came up with the idea of his own business, I think I actually felt better than when he was out looking for jobs that I didn't even know if he was going to like.
Were you, and this may not be a fair question, but I'll ask it. Were you resentful at all? Because now economically, you were the one carrying the weight of the family.
No, because I always was. So remember, I met him going in. So he didn't really go back in time, but I met him walking into medical school. And so not theoretically, not physically. he would be a terrible doctor. So I met him as I was starting medical school. He was a sports writer in the middle of Indiana. Okay. So the balance was always in our heads. I was going to make the money, or at least be the main breadwinner in the family. That was never the question. So there was no, yes, he was doing better than we thought he was going to be doing at that point, but he still wasn't making more than me or carrying the weight of the family. We were still good regardless.
Yep.
Got it. Well, because sometimes you hear, you might meet a family where, and this might, I'm going to throw gender roles out here right now, because you do hear in some cases, people that we've worked with or we're friends with, sometimes the wife is making more money and traditionally the man makes more money. And it's an interesting dynamic because the man in some cases can have an issue with that and the wife can have issues with it for different reasons. So that's just, it's reality. So I just didn't know if that was something that you dealt with.
Luckily, that has never been there. And that's actually been something that I have found is a really big strength in our relationship, is that because I've always made my own money and enough to survive on my own, which is something my parents definitely pushed at a young age. We've never argued about money ever. And so that wasn't, thankfully, because you're 100% right. There's definitely situations where maybe the wife wasn't even working and would have to go back to work to be able to, you know, that kind of thing. So luckily, nothing really changed for us financially at that point.
Yeah. And I just as an aside, you know, I've even personally, my wife's got a pretty big job, and I've had people even say, wow, I can't believe your wife works. And it's just, it's, I've always found that kind of bizarre.
That's a whole other podcast.
No question about it. So Justin, you finally, now you got going with this thing, you're getting some traction pretty much right away. You get your first five clients. What does the growth look like from there? And then I want to talk about the pivot during COVID, because I think you definitely called that one correctly. And we'll touch on that in a bit.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. I'm learning in the first couple minutes of this show, probably more than I've learned in any other show. So I'm very grateful for that. I love hearing this perspective. And this is how I learn in real time. I don't like pre-interviews. I just like hitting the record button so you can actually, and then hopefully that learning is shared with the audience as well. I think my greatest strength in life is I have an unbreakable vision. It's unbreakable. Like it can be, I'm adaptable, but I'm not breakable. It's unbreakable. And I think every great visionary is like that. And the first big partner slash client with the PR firm that we had was Allstate Foundation. So that was within a couple months of starting the first company. I'm guessing that doesn't happen with most startups. I mean, maybe it does. I don't know. But I think because of that unbreakable vision and mindset, regardless of what the profit or revenue was at the time, like I'm very determined, like we'll never make an excuse. And then the PR firm just gradually evolved and got bigger and bigger in terms of profits. And to answer your COVID question, my first book, Epic Business, came out a few months into COVID. And the foreword of that book, I'm very grateful, was written by Chris Voss, who wrote Never Split the Difference, you know, one of the best business books in the last 20 years, I'd say. And in his foreword, he wrote that what Rapid Communications actually was just a network of visionaries connecting each other. So he wrote the word network, and the second company is Brepik Network. So literally the Brepik Network was written in the foreword of the first book, which I didn't even know slash realize until starting the second company. And at the start of COVID, the second day after shutdown, I'm guessing while much of the rest of the world was in panic mode, I posted that this will be the greatest opportunity of all time for people with the right mindset. Greatest opportunity of all time for people with the right mindset. And I think for visionaries who are adaptable, like you said, this has been the greatest opportunity of all time. Even those for those who have lost their entire businesses or just started another one, because uncertainty is an opportunity to collaborate. And that's certain. I mean, Brepik Network is like the ultimate collaboration in so many ways. We can talk about that if you want, but it's like, that's what it is. I mean, it's the ultimate COVID collaboration. That's the way I look at it.
So Sarah, when Justin's looking at COVID and he's in a business, I think that is more naturally geared towards succeeding in that environment, because one of the things, and I saw it, I mean, 2020 was an explosive year for our business in here, because we had everyone at home was a captive audience. You actually had the ability to contact and reach people that you never could otherwise. And you pulled the entire world 5 years ahead in terms of this kind of communication, which was unbelievable. But you're working in medicine now, and physician friends that I have and people that I know, there was a very different and very real fear level that was occurring in that industry. What was your experience like during COVID? So you got Justin's fired up. We're running forward. Where were you then?
So COVID was a double-edged sword for me. Partially, I was really, I'm definitely one of the people who was more paranoid about COVID with my kids, with myself, with work. I still had to go to work. You know, everyone else could stay home those 2 weeks, and I still had to go in and see people when we had no idea how it was transmitting and how deadly it was. You know, it was stressful for me. I would say that was when my anxiety started, understandably, I guess, but you know, it was, that part was stressful. However, because of the uncertainty, I was able to, because at that point I was still working full time. So I worked for full time for 10 years. And because of the uncertainty of the transmission, we were able to work less because we shut down one of our two offices. Obviously, because we weren't seeing as many people, we were trying to keep it newborns, that kind of stuff. So I was able to be home more and to be more present with my kids, who absolutely needed it. There was a huge difference with me at home more than usual. I still, like I said, I still worked and I still had that fear level, but that difference with them and with my happiness was one of the first turning points for me. And because he was doing so well with his company during COVID, I was able to remain part-time after, you know, as things progressed throughout the pandemic. I never went back to full-time after that because there was just no need to, and everyone was happier with me home more.
Talk about that transition a little bit though, in terms of, was it one day you woke up and the light bulb went off and said, you know what, this is what's more important with me for me now, spending time with my children. And again, we don't need to do it anymore. Or was it kind of a gradual understanding? Was it a light bulb moment, or all at once you just said, this works. This is what I'm going to do from here.
I don't remember the light bulb moment, and I usually would. That's something that happens a lot with me. That's actually why I joined Brepik Network, was a light bulb moment. So I believe it was more gradual. And it was also something that we both needed to, there was a stress level on his part because, again, his company some months does well and some months doesn't, because that's just the way it works. So I have a baseline salary. I'm not based on productivity. So it was more of a comfort level of us two as to, was it going to stress him out too much to try to maintain the level that we were used to? So it was more of a gradual, and there were many discussions about it. And it's interesting because I say I always knew I wanted to be a mom, and I always knew I wanted to have a career, but I never knew how those two, it never even occurred to me that there would be an issue with those two things, not necessarily an issue, but I never even thought of any conflict with that until it happened. So we've always known, especially my older child does better when I'm home, but it was never really an option until COVID happened.
Right. And so Justin, so COVID's here, you got Sarah's home more. Why, first of all, why did you think when the world was in this massive state of panic that it was such an incredible opportunity? And then what was the first action step that you took once you had that realization?
Well, that's another good question. Intuitively, I mean, usually visionaries are aliens within society. Like, we just think differently than non-visionaries. And when you spend your day talking to people like us all day, and you hear the same thing with all these, I guess, challenges or things that most of society is facing, it's like, here's just a great opportunity for positive evolution. So that's the way I've always looked at things, even though, like, at first when, like, job salaries cut in half, it was very difficult. I think deep down, maybe unconsciously or subconsciously, I knew it was a great opportunity. It just hadn't been brought out into the conscious yet. And then after seeing the success of First Company, what that type of determination led to, I think starting the First Company, I'm like, oh, I finally feel like the way I was supposed to be feeling, or the what I was supposed to be doing. Like, because I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. So when COVID happened, that was about 3 years into the First Company, I'm like, oh, this is just logical at this point. And where the evolution into the second company came just as background, I think since COVID started, since March of 2020, in-person one-on-one meetings, I think I've done 6 total since COVID. I still do like group meetings and things like that, but one-on-one. And so have had all this additional time to have amazing conversations like this and have real human relationships, even though you don't meet someone in person, like that doesn't really matter. And just saw an explosion of opportunities on a global level very quickly. And just to land the plane, Sarah's in my, I guess, business partner, Mark Fujiwara. He's in San Francisco. We're both in Chicago. We've met Mark 2 times in person. And Mark and I first started talking about Brepik Network in 2021. So we've met 2 times in person since then. And I would say most of my quote unquote best friends, I've never met them in person. I will, but it doesn't really matter anymore because you can develop these real human relationships very quickly on these type of platforms, which is a great gift.
Now, I'll ask you both this, you know, coming through that experience and the fact that we're still talking about it here, 2024, really shows how dramatic. I think there was before COVID in terms of how business was done, how a lot of the world was organized, and then there's post-COVID. Sarah, was there a big surprise that has come out of that for you? Is there a way that the world looks now that you could never have imagined 3 or 4 years ago? And then Justin, I'll ask you the same question.
Yeah, good question. So a couple things. One, I still am surprised at how quickly I remember being in the heat of COVID thinking, I can't believe this is the world we live in. I can't believe I'm wearing a mask to the store. I can't believe I'm wearing a mask everywhere. And then I remember thinking, when will I ever feel comfortable not doing that? I'll never walk into Walgreens without a mask. I remember these thoughts. And it's funny watching my kids go through it because they were 5 and 7 when it started. They would watch movies and they would be terrified that people were all on a train without masks on or in a huge college room without masks on. And so for me, it's actually very interesting to see how quickly we've been able to adapt back to normal in that way, which has been really cool. In terms of my medical practice, things have definitely changed. Our hours have shifted to better lifestyle for us, which is great. You know, you think people need extra hours. They need this. They need that. They don't need it. They just got used to it. So, you know, we used to have early morning hours, late hours. We are always open on Saturdays. We're still open on Saturdays, but we're open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. People, they adjust their schedules now. More people work from home. So they're allowed, you know, they come in. We've had very little complaints about not having a 6:30 p.m. physical, which is great because that allows the doctors, the nurses, the receptionists more time with their families. You know, who wants to miss dinner? Nobody. You know, family-oriented people want to be with their family. So medical sense, I think people have gotten a little bit less needy. And for me, I've been able to see a bigger life, a bigger picture. Like Justin said, I didn't know what an entrepreneur was. My dad owned a business, but he owned a business. He's not a big thing, or, you know, we didn't live a different lifestyle or anything like that. And so now we're able to show our kids a completely different life because we both just jumped into almost a different, I like to call it a different world, because the entrepreneurial world, I mean, I love doing both jobs, but talking to entrepreneurs all day to me isn't work. It's just really fun. Right. And I love being able to not only do that from home so I can be more around for my children, but also showing my kids that world.
What about you, Justin? Any big surprises in terms of how the world's looking now in 2024 that you would not have anticipated in 2020?
Not any big surprises, because in visionary world, I've always kind of been like this in some capacity. I was surprised. I was saying this kind of stuff even before COVID. I always thought there'd be more companies like the one I first started, where it was like, and I hate the term lifestyle business. Like I've always thought it was an insulting term created by folks that are like focused on actual business and not spending time with their family. So I always thought there'd be more companies like the first one where you just spend time with your family. You don't need an office. You have a specific niche. The investment to be part of a company's, it's up there. So you don't need a ton of partners or clients. So I always thought that would happen. COVID certainly fast-tracked that. I mean, it definitely fast-tracked that, but I always thought it would happen in some capacity. And before COVID, I spent more time with our sons than any dad I've ever met. Now I just spend more time with them. Our oldest son, Jake, who's here right this week, our youngest son, Chase, is with Sarah in Florida as they're visiting her dad. But I was having a conversation with Jake today. I didn't tell you this, Sarah, yet, but we were talking about what leads the body, whether it's the heart or the brain, in terms of decision making. And it was a really interesting conversation because I'm like, well, do you think the heart leads or makes the final decision? And he said, no, that he thinks the brain makes the final decision, but the heart can receive a decision first from someone else. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, if someone breaks up with you, your heart is going to be affected first, and then that can affect the decision of the brain. Hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, right. So I'm guessing most parents aren't talking to their 11-year-old kids about that, but maybe they are. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But it was such a fascinating discussion. And then I did like a coaching tree of life thing. I've shared on social media earlier today, but there's like a sun is the higher power, like a faith is the sun. And then there's clouds, like all these ancient wisdom leaders like Euclid. And then, you know, I'm the trunk, and then all these groups and great visionaries are the branches and stuff. But and then Brepik Network is the air. Like, it's literally the air I breathe. But the family, Sarah and our kids, and the conversations we have are the roots for everything. They're the roots. And
well, Justin, is it fair to say that your biggest surprise in all of this is the fact that I joined your company?
That's what we want to get into next. Let's talk about BR
that's,
Epic.
I mean, yeah, I think that's everyone's biggest surprise.
Yeah, that's the biggest surprise he had. Neither of us had any idea that was coming. So.
No.
So I think a good segue into that is Justin, one of the things that I noticed, you know, after we first met maybe a year and a half or so ago, and that's continually reaffirmed, if anything, even more so, is that one of the things that makes you such a great connector is the speed at which you're willing to do it. So like we can literally get off it could be a LinkedIn message, I think was how we first communicated.
Yeah.
And immediately there's three introductions.
Boom. Boom.
Oh, yeah, boom, right away. And so there's a speed of that, and there's also a fearlessness involved with that.
Yes.
So do you have, and I believe that there are many people miss opportunities that exist because they're, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, or they're
their own problem. They're their own preventer.
But are you, and I've always kind of wondered this, and I've joked with Mark about this before. Do you have any sense of fear or trepidation of moving right into making a connection?
No.
Has that always been the case, or have you trained yourself to do that?
No. Okay, so thank you. I really appreciate you saying that and asking that. I was raised with no rules. Sarah taught me what a lint trap was. I did not know what that was. I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. I was never taught how to shave, like nothing. My father died when I was 13. And I'm sure I've told you this before, but he was 61 when I was born. And then my litmus test, he was a World War II hero, shot down multiple times in combat, many times without a parachute, and he would just get back into another plane. So that's my, you either can do that or you can't. So by no means, and it's completely unfair that I'm comparing myself making an intro to someone is the same as that, but that's how I feel it's like you just do it and then you see what happens.
So Sarah, you've been in your experience too, I'm guessing, your entire married life together.
Oh, it just gets worse as he gets older. So, you know, I've always thought he was more neurodivergent, if you will. And that is 100%. He has zero patience. He gets things done. So when the kids were little, you know, bedtime's not easy. You have kids. Bedtime's not easy when they're toddlers. Okay. And he's like, well, someone messaged me, I have to message them back. And it has to be done right now. There's no, I'm like, nobody's dying. Nobody's, you're not an ER doctor. What I need from you right now is to help me get these kids to bed. So that's never been a thing. Patience has never been his friend. And so it does help when it comes to those things. Like he'll never forget because he does it. You can say something right now and he doesn't care that we're in the middle of a podcast. He'll connect you right now. He does not see the big picture of the social piece ever. Nope. So it's a plus and minus. It makes him extremely good at what he does. It makes him very difficult to socialize with.
Yes. But that's where you come in.
Correct.
Yeah, but there's absolutely no hesitation, which I think that's a lesson. I would consider myself a fairly quick reactor. You know, I've even joked with my wife that, you know, I'll make very fast decisions. 90% of the time they work out well. 10% of the time is a disaster, but the 90% of the time overcomes that.
Yes.
But the speed to which you move forward is shocking even to me. So let's segue this now into BR Epic Network and what the vision is for this and where you hope to take this thing moving forward.
I look at it as the ultimate backstage for front stage people. One, I'm very grateful you're one of our members. It's basically a room full of yous. And when I say backstage for front stage people, like the best collaborative discussion for visionaries who are working on and or doing it right now, changing the world, serving humanity. So they collaborate with discussions, possible investing partners, joint ventures, whatever that is, and then they collaborate to bring that out to the world. And why I think it's so important is visionaries are fundamentally different than business owners or consultants or employees. They're fundamentally different. A visionary cares about purpose, changing the world, exponential thinking. Most others care about linear, their world, paycheck, that kind of thing. And visionaries are usually misunderstood by the vast majority of society. And what I have heard from members, because talk is meaningless to me without an answer, but what I have heard from them is it is the ultimate safe place for visionaries to really be understood by everyone in the room. Everyone. Everyone. And that's why I think it's scaling so quickly. And as the drawing I did today with the roots being the family, the main reason why is because Sarah is the root of the entire company. I'm not saying that because she's pure right now. She just, that's the reason why it's scaling. It's because of Sarah, because she is the harmony and joy of our family, the roots of our family. And then she's the harmony and joy and roots of the company as well.
I would agree with that actually, because I think when did you actually launch the network?
Technically it launched in 2021. Sarah joined in like May of 2023. In May of 2023, we had basically no platform. I think there were like 7 people signed up. And then Sarah's more of a detailed person than I am, so she can correct me if I'm wrong. But since Sarah's joined, now as of this recording, we're at 55 members. The platform's amazing. She and Mark and others have planned our big in-person event, which will be in May in the Phoenix area. She's already planning hopefully another in-person event for 2024. So I really don't consider 2021 the start of the company, even though technically it was, but really May of 2023 is when I look at this company really got going.
Well, it's interesting because the reason I say that I think there's a lot of truth to that, and it just kind of dawned on me because I was kind of aware you had this thing out there because I've read your books. They're great. Anybody that would like to go pick, you know, Epic Business, Epic Life up, really fast, good read, as you can imagine now, having heard some of this conversation, very to the point. So some immediately actionable stuff. But Sarah, once you got involved in this, I remember thinking to myself, and I'm just kind of recreating this right now on a subconscious level, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. His wife's getting involved. And then we did a Zoom together, and that was actually the Zoom where I was like, yeah, this sounds pretty cool. I think I can get involved in this thing. And I think it's probably because maybe you're such a good balance to it. You know, you're adding some, I don't want to say grounding, but you're adding.
Oh, no, that's good.
You know what I mean? So what was the decision like on your side? So obviously you've already scaled back because the marketing is going well. You've got simmering in the background, but it hasn't really taken off yet. You've got this, the network piece of this whole thing. Was this Justin's idea, or was this you saying, I want to be a part of this?
Yeah, good question. So number one, let me just correct something. There were only 6 members of the network before I joined.
Sorry. Woo. Hey-o. Whoops.
Well, 6 members and no real focus. So they knew that they wanted to connect visionaries only to serve humanity, but they're both visionaries. And Mark is even more so than Justin. So their idea. Yeah, we should do that. But nothing ever got done. So they had these people that they wanted to connect, but no real way to do that. So in May of 2023, I went with him to a couples connection retreat through Strategic Coach, which for those of you who don't know, is a business group. And so what they do is they bring the couple, the spouse in, and they talk about, in a business way, kind of planning your future, the 1 year, the 5 year, the 10-year goal, blah, blah, blah. So this is our third one. We had done it a few times before. And a couple of people had opened my eyes a little bit and said things like, you need to think bigger. You're thinking too small. We know your husband. He's a big thinker. And that, coupled with somebody asked him what he did, and he literally went off on a tangent that didn't make any sense to anyone. So I explained what he did. Those two things together, and like I said, just being around visionaries and really enjoying it, that was the light bulb moment where I looked at him and I said, this may sound insane. He can tell you this is exactly what happened. I said, I might be crazy right now. You can tell me if you don't want me to do this, but I had this idea. You and I are opposites. My strengths are completely opposite from yours. Mostly at that point, I was talking about communication. And I said, I think you are really good at what you do, but if people understood you, there are definitely people who understand him, who get him, but there are so many people that he could help that have no idea what he's talking about. And he started like crying, and he's not really an emotional person. He was so excited. Neither of us had ever, ever thought about this before, ever. It was a snap moment. And from then, you know, then I had to say, okay, well, now I don't want to be the wife coming in, right? Because that adds a whole different dynamic that, you know, someone's wife wants to take over. He has a business partner. So luckily I had, you know, we had spent time with Mark. I knew Mark, but I went in with like a whole platform of, this is exactly what I think could happen. You know, we need to do this, this, and this. I'm here. You know, you can talk about me after I leave. You guys decide whether or not you want me, but let's try this. And I won't take any money the first 6 months. I will, you know, stay at my job, and we'll just see how this works, because I don't even know if I'm going to like it. And Mark couldn't have been more excited. He was like, you were exactly the right person. This was exactly the right time. And then he and I were just go, go, go from then on. And we just created what is Brepik Network.
So what is the two-part question for you? Is first, because I think that one of the things I was blessed with growing up is my dad would come home from work every single day. And generally speaking, of course, everyone has days that are a little bit more challenging, but he loved what he did. You know, I never had to see my father. My mother also, she had a store that she owns. She's also entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. Where they both came home, and there were different challenges, but it was never the grind. It was never complaining about the job or the boss or this or that. Like, I was brought up knowing that work was, if you want to call it work, that the way you went out and made money, it should be something that kind of feeds your soul. And now your kids are seeing this at a level with both of their parents, and they're doing it in a way where you're moving toward a unified purpose. What's been the impact on your kids?
Oh man, I'm like getting emotional thinking about that. And again, as Sarah said, I know what it's like to not have a dad around. My dad, again, he was a pure hero, great father, not a good father, a great father, but he died when I was 13. And then our oldest son is 11. Our youngest is 9. So I'm very aware of that. Very, very, very aware of that. That's why I'm so direct, because I don't want anyone wasting my time that would take time away from our children. Very direct about that. And our youngest son, he already wants to take over both companies. I would describe Chase as a a little version of Earl Nightingale. I don't say that lightly. And our oldest son and our youngest son really balance each other out, I would say, similarly to how Sarah and I balance each other out. I am not a futurist. However, when I see things, it's usually correct because I just see it and know it. I could see them partnering together either in one of these companies or their own. And the value of the conversations that we have as a family are so enriching and rewarding. It's just the ultimate beauty. And I can easily say I've learned more from Sarah and my children than they've learned from me. It's not even close. And I'm so endlessly grateful for that. Without Sarah and certain, especially without Sarah, I would have no life, nothing. So I'm endlessly grateful for that.
I think it's awesome that your kids see that. And I think that being able to build something great and doing that together, yeah, are absolutely amazing. And as a member of BR Epic Network, I can't say enough about it. I think that the people that I've met, thanks to what the two of you put together, have been absolutely fantastic. We've had a few of them as guests here on the podcast as well.
Thank you.
So let's wrap it up with this. There's a lot of good, you know, I'm almost at a loss for how to wrap it up because I think the books that you've written, Justin, are great. I think the network that you built, the two of you are building together, is great. There's a marketing component here as well. If anyone wants to connect or contact either of you based on any of those needs, looking to solve a problem in their own life, how do they do that? Where do they find you?
Sarah, would you like to answer that?
I'm easiest to find at this point through the network page, which is brepicnetwork.org, brepicnetwork.org. And there's literally a button on there that says, email Sarah. So that's
easy enough.
That makes me easy. Justin, you can give your website.
BrepicLLC.com, but definitely go through the site Sarah recommended, brepicnetwork.org.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys both. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Fortunately, I get to do it more often than just this podcast, but I'm grateful we're able to share some of your story with all the listeners.
Thank you.
And before we get out of here, you got my thanks too, because it was a fascinating conversation. But I, as the outsider in this conversation, spell the network name. Is it Brepic? I mean, lay that out for me, because I'm sitting here going, I've been wanting to ask that question for 15 minutes. So.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a detail person. Okay, so it's BREPICnetwork.org, brepicnetwork.org.
It's Breen, BR is for Breen, and then Epic.
Yeah. Well, I sat here and wrote alternate spellings down while we were going.
Oh, that's a great. I can't wait to see that.
It is what it is.
It's completely ridiculous. It's hilarious, though. It's fun.
But great. Thank you very much. Brett, we know how to reach them now. How do we reach you if we want to talk to you?
Absolutely. Number here in the office is 602-255-0555. Andy, Kayla, Susan, myself will pick up the phone. MPAdvisorsAZ.com or SmartMoneySimplified.com. LinkedIn is a great way to connect with me. We've had number of guests on that we've met through that platform, and I'm on it pretty consistently. So it's a great way to reach out as well.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. It is a good, useful platform, as a matter of fact. For those of you who are listening to this podcast who are not subscribers, let's take care of that right now. Hit the subscribe button, become a subscriber. That way you will not miss another episode. Not if you choose to anyway, because you will be notified when Brent posts a new episode of the podcast. You can tune in, you can listen. The other thing we'd ask is if you like these conversations, but tell people about them, share them, get the word out. Brett has a number of really, really fascinating conversations. So if you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to some of the old ones. Mark Fujiwara, actually, who we were talking about today with Justin, is a guest in a prior podcast. And it was a really, really interesting conversation. So here you are. Stick around. In the meantime, I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Brent and everybody at MP Advisors, thanking you for listening to the program today and reminding you that you can go out today and make it a really great day. Or not. You do have a choice. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Smart Money Simplified Podcast. Have any questions about topics covered during the show? Visit www.smartmoneysimplified.com or give us a call at 602-255-0555. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the hosts and/or guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service providers with any questions you may have regarding your individual situation. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors Incorporated, MP Advisors, LLC, is not a broker/dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.